Welcome everyone to another James C. Live interview. I have the nice, wonderful, great friend of mine. This is Shanine Bonner, and you're going to learn about her being the founder of Decree Records. You're going to learn about her being a two-time Grammy considered artist. You're going to learn about the artists that work with her. You're going to learn about her podcast, being on the radio, being in different magazines. You're going to learn about all the different people that she produces and works with, what God's calling has been placed upon her life, where God is leading her and her fellow musicians as she's moving forward to spread the message of Jesus in song and in book. And it's just an amazing opportunity just to see what God is doing in her life and the life of Decree Records. We believe in the faith of Jesus today that God is going to open more doors and blessings through Shanine Bonner's ministry and Decree Records. Thank you so very much for coming today. It is a great honor and privilege to spend this time with you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
So let's just start at the top. Just give us a little background testimony about who you are, when you got saved, and when you started getting into the music industry.
Well, I actually been singing for a very long time, started off little singing in church choirs and doing different things in school and junior high school and things like that. So I started off singing quite young, but with the desire to do this happened to be maybe 96, 97, and I'm really dating myself right now. But me being saved, I got saved. I started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ at 90 in the 90s at in 96. At the age of 24 years old, I gave up everything. I said, "Lord, I surrender unto you." And then God gave me the desire to start singing and writing music. So, like in 97, I did my first CD. Well, as we call it back in the day, a CD. So, yeah, I did my first CD back in 97.
That's
So.
wonderful. Yeah, CDs are still relevant though, but the thing is, I think that's exciting is vinyl is making a comeback.
You know what? They are, believe it or not. I had a couple of people tell me that they're coming back.
Oh yeah. So here you get saved, you get a calling into your life to continue to use your talent of music, and you're wanting to move forward and press in with what God is doing. So what with the next turn, with the next blessing that brought you to this next place to lead you to bringing in Decree Records.
How that actually came about and 2011, the Lord gave me a prophetic word and said, I want you to go to California. I have ministry work for you to do. I'm originally from Michigan. And I said, no, I pass. I'm not going to California. I don't know anyone out there, so I'm not going. But thank you, Jesus, for even considering me. But so I had like a job experience because I had a couple of businesses. I had an assisted living and I had a home care. And I lost everything. It's just like a whoop. So
Uh-oh.
when this prophetic word came about, I was sitting on my porch and I was reading this man who I truly, truly love. He's a pioneer named Smith Wigglesworth. I got all of his books and I'm reading Smith Wigglesworth's book. And my aunt called me and said, "The Lord has use for you in California." And I just said, "No, thank you. I'll pass." And so and then I was on Facebook. And a lady inboxed me and said, "I don't know you, but the Lord told me to tell you that He has a use for you in California." And I said, "No, thank you
Wow.
too." And so, but like I said, for out of that little time of being disobedient, I lost everything. And I had to move in with my children. And my oldest daughter came home and said, "Shanine Bonner, you're no longer welcome here. Go
Uh-oh.
to California and do what God called for you to do." Gave me a one-way bus ticket to here to LA. And so, and
Wow.
I went before the Lord and I said, "Lord," I said, "if you want me to go to California, it's two things that can never ever happen, that I'll sleep outside and that I will be completely broke. I don't care if I had a dollar, I wasn't completely broke." And so got on the Greyhound bus, journeyed here to Los Angeles, didn't know a soul here, didn't know where I was going to sleep, didn't know what I was going to eat. Didn't know anything. Got to Tulsa, I mean, got to St. Louis, Missouri, And one of the baggage handlers told me, if you don't give me $20, your bag is not going on a bus.
Oh.
I didn't believe him until I got to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and found out that I didn't have my bags on the bus. And so I didn't have any money. I had $300 to my name because I lost everything. And I didn't have any clothes. I only had the clothes that was on my back. But God is a miracle worker. And God was sent forth his angels to meet you at a place where he wants you to be. So when I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I'm calling the Greyhound. I'm in the Greyhound station. I'm crying. You guys lost my clothes. And I'm in the corner crying on the phone. And so this tall man with blonde hair was in this, in the Greyhound bus station. He was buying all everybody food. And so he looked at me. He seen me crying in this corner. How did I know? And so he walked up to me and he said, can I talk to you? And I said, yes. You know, I didn't have anything else to do. I didn't have any money. I have clothes. So we went and sat in a booth. And so he pulled this little raggedy Bible out of the, his back pocket.
Wow.
Flipped it open like this, and it went to Matthew 6. And he said, the Lord said, take no thought of what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. And looked me straight in my face and said, Shanine, the Lord has the use for you in California. So I know that was an angel of the Lord that met me in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so I just got on the bus, continued to ride, and I end up, you know, here in Los Angeles, was homeless for 5 years. But one thing, God kept his promise. I've never slept outside. I've never, ever, ever, I was never broke. Even if I had 20 cents, I was never broke. I slept in abandoned houses. I had no clothes. I had to go to the Long Beach Mission to get clothes. Mm-hmm. But when I got off the bus, I used to have a lady that used to call me. She lived in Long Beach. She used to call me for prayer because I had a radio broadcast in Inglewood, California that people used to call in. I was doing it from Michigan. And so when I got off the bus, I'm looking around. I said, okay, Lord, did you show somebody me in a vision? You know, who's come to pick me up? And I heard the Lord told me to call that lady. And I called her, told her my dilemma. And she said, my son is coming to pick you up. Jesus. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, homeless, and that's how basically some of my songs been birthed out of when I was in my homelessness. Didn't have nothing. I tried to get a job. I went to this prophetic conference, and this one, the prophetess said to me, she was like, woman of God, the Lord said he's not going to allow you to get a job. So I'm looking around like, I know she's not talking to me. And so she walked straight up to me and said, the Lord is not going to allow you to get a job because he wants you to trust him. So, and wow. I went to every job. I went to job interviews. I was in the home care field. So I know the home care field like the back of my hand. And I went in Beverly Hills to apply for a job, and the man looked at me. He's like, you have all the qualifications, take care of my mom and blah, and so blah 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 blah. And then he asked me, he said, what do you do for your spare time? I said, well, I'm a preacher. He said, oh, you don't have time to take care of my mother. Didn't hire me.
Oh.
So homeless for 5 years, but God kept me. I mean, miraculously kept me. Things. One time I didn't have any money, and I said, Lord, I said, you said in your word that you never seen the righteous forsaken, nor your kids begging for bread. And I said, I don't have any money. I don't have anything or personal hygiene. I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk to this store, and I'm going to believe it by faith that you're going to answer my prayer before I get to this store. So I got dressed. You know, and it was in this place called Lancaster, California, which has all four seasons. So it was in the wintertime.
Oh, man.
So I bundled up, put my coat, put my hat on. I didn't have a dime. I needed personal item stuff, and I needed food. And I just got up, and I started walking, headed to that store. And all of a sudden, when I got to the corner, some money. Well, no wind blowing, but money just blew to my feet.
Wow.
I just picked the money up and kept walking. So, but that's how basically the music industry, the music started coming with me, because I would be in my worship time, regardless of me being homeless, didn't have nothing, had holes at the bottom of my shoes that I, you know, had clothes that I got from the mission and had to wear some of the clothes basically for days at a time, so, because I didn't have clothes. But I kept a worship in my heart. And I remember my son, Great God. I was just worshiping, hallelujah, hands up, and I was like, what a great God we serve.
Amen.
And so I got that. I'm still worshiping. I'm noticing these words coming out of me. So I picked up my phone and I taped myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord gave me basically the whole song, the whole lyrics to the song. So, but it came out of homelessness. So God is good.
Amen. Amen. So from homelessness to getting the restoring of opportunities to see where to go, who to talk to, what to record, and the opportunity to just trust in a faith walk with God, where did he lead you to through that? When did you get pulled out of that?
2015. It was so crazy. God said, I'm turning your captivity around like I did Job. So he turned the reproach around. And so, and he allowed me to get a job. God is, he's a miracle working God when you trust
Amen.
Him. So I got a job doing caregiving, home care. So I've only been on the job for 2 weeks. I didn't have a paycheck or anything, no checks up. So I said, I'm going to the Honda dealership to get me a car. And so I got dropped off at the Honda dealership. And so, No, I didn't. I borrowed someone's car. And so I went to the Honda dealership. And so when I walked in, I said, I'm coming in to buy a car, to get a car. And so they were saying, it's so funny. They said, okay, we got check stub. I said, I don't have a check stub. I don't have money, but I'm leaving here with a car. And so they was like, huh? They said, well, how long you been in your job? I said, 2 weeks. I said, but I'm leaving here with a car. I left there 4 o'clock that evening with a 2015 Honda Civic. It only had 36 miles on there. And
wow.
God worked that thing out that my car payment was $156 a month. So nobody can tell me what God will not do.
Amen.
And so when he turned it, he turned it. And so from 2015 until like where I'm at right now, God has really, really, really has opened up doors. So I just walked on that dealership, didn't have a dime to my pocket and to my name, because I just came, you know, just didn't have a pay stub, didn't have anything. But one thing I did have, I have faith. And the Bible said a good name is better than money. And so I had the name that's above every name, and that name is Jesus. And I took
Amen.
That name on the dealership and got a brand new car off that lot.
Amen. So tell us the story of Decree Records. How did that come about?
Decree, how it came about, I was in my 5 a.m. prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got out of my 5 a.m. prayer, I was going back to get into bed. And the Lord said, you're going to start a record label. And you're going to name this record label Decree. And you're going to go through this attorney. They're going to do all the paperwork. And I'm like, huh? I'm sitting on the side of my bed like, huh? I don't know how to do this. And then I heard, ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. So, and I'm looking, and the Lord said, you're going to name it Decree. He said, mm-hmm. Go back to 22:28. When you decree a thing, it shall be established. And so, and that's how Decree Records came about.
Amen.
And so I just followed the steps of what the Lord told me to do. In 3 months, I had Decree Records was up and running, LLC up and running. And, you know, and registered with the state of California.
Amen. So God's blessing you when you have nothing and you're homeless. Not sure if you've seen a little bit of my story. I was homeless too, and God sent me to South Africa from the homeless shelter. So I understand about walking in places and you don't have money that day, or you do a day labor job. And I had one where I didn't get paid, and then God opened the door for something to happen to replace what I lost. So you understand about loss. You understand about that faith walk of trying to find things. Then God ordained you to move into a season of working with your music, getting opportunities to sing and speak. Then God opens the door for you to open your own business with Decree Records. So what happens after that? What is now, the next step that God opens to you?
Actually, we just started Decree Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Decree, we also have a radio station. So wow. God has opened up doors for that.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the Lord said, you know, we're taking the airways. And so now we just did a radio station, and we're going to the next step of getting it. It's called BDS, which actually Billboard, to get it certified. So we already have our record label already certified mm-hmm. with Billboard. So now we're taking it to the next level with the radio station. And God has opened up a door for me to do a documentary to tell what I just said to you, to tell my story. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord said, this is the making of a mogul. Sometimes people, they see the person in there now, but they never, ever, ever had, they never seen a person in there then.
Yeah.
You know, they had to, you know, it's a process between that. And so, and I want people through this documentary to walk through my process. You know, what you see right now is basically, it's really not a finished product. It's just that where I'm just working the middle of it now, but it has been a journey, you know, being, you know, homeless. That's then in California, the richest states in America. You know, just a one bedroom is like $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're sleeping on people's couches and people mm-hmm. getting mad at you, you know, put you out. And, you know, I've stayed in hotels for 2 or 3 days and had the security guard knock on the door telling me it's time to get out. And I'm looking, I'm in the lobby like, okay, Lord, what's next? You know, but I never stopped my praise. And when the Lord opened up that door for me to become, to come out of homelessness, I used to do the biggest crusades and conference here. The Lord mm-hmm. opened up doors that, you know, I did my first, it's called Ask the Prophet. And mm-hmm. so I did one of my first things at a restaurant. And so, and the Lord, and it was growing. And so the Lord said, you're going to move it. So he said, move it to a hotel. So I went to the mm-hmm. DoubleTree Hotel, you know, and asked, can I get the smallest room that you have right here?
mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to do my thing. And so I rented the room and got everything done. And knowing that God was going to just level me up, basically. And so the lady called me back, said, Miss Bonner, I gotta tell you, we got some bad news. We rented that room out. And I said, oh wow. She said, but we upgraded you to the penthouse. I said, what? And I said, Lord, I just thank you for that same $500. I got upgraded to the penthouse. And so we started from that point on doing Acts of Profit every 3 months in a penthouse at the DoubleTree Hotel in Torrance, California. So God opened up that door. I had people coming around from everywhere, from Orange County, all around the Los Angeles County and other counties, just to come to this event, to this crusade. In one of our events, oh my God, it was, we blew on a shofar. We literally seen angels in that place. Mm-hmm. So God has been really good.
And God's not done. As we talked before this broadcast, and we've talked many other times, each time God has ordained something for somebody to move in their lives and the lives of others, there's always two directions this goes. There's the one where there's the opposition, because in the middle of spiritual warfare, the devil and the demons, Satan, Lucifer, and his demons, and his little organization, the gang, and the people that follow him knowingly and unknowingly, they like to throw fit. And you see all this stuff that tries to cover like a big round of darkness, the big oppositions, the things that happen. But in the midst of all this chaos and discord, God is opening doors. As I was saying before this broadcast, you, God's going to open more doors for more opportunities for speaking events for you and your fellow artists. There's going to be more opportunities to explain your book. God's going to open the door for you to write another book, I also believe. And God's just going to continue to bless this. And bringing up the book, Expel, the Guide to Deliverance. You want to share a little bit about the book too?
I was actually in homelessness, staying with my friend in Orange County. I've always been into deliverance. When I was in Michigan, I used to hold a big deliverance service. And I used to teach deliverance. And so I've always, one of my greatest gifts, or Paul would say, you know, your earnest gift, your best gift, is my gift that I know for a fact, I walk into deliverance. So I wrote the book Expelled to teach people how to recognize different types of spirits and what operates behind that spirit, to recognize that devil and them demons for what they really are, you know, because some people can say, oh, I suffer with, you know, with anxiety, with panic attacks. And I'm like, we have to go to that strong man. That's the spirit of fear. So we operate, I teach them how to denounce that spirit and where to, because a lot of people, and a lot of people get deliverance mixed up. They said, you know, devil, go back to hell where you came from. It's not his time. That's when Jesus stepped in the room, every demon that came in his presence, he said, Jesus of Nazareth, you come to torment us before our time. They already been judged. They already know that the lake of fire is already there. So what you can do, you take authority over that spirit. You can bind them to the abyss. They hate the water. They hate it. That's when Jesus stepped over into the land of the Gadarenes, and he asked him, what's your name? He said, Legion. And then he said, go. And them demons beg, please don't send us to the river. Send us to the swine. Put us in the swine. So you're going to bind them to the abyss. You can bind them, but you take authority over that spirit. You don't let no. And I tell my kids that, I said, if I find out that you let a devil scare you, I'll slap the piss out of you. Because we have authority in Christ Jesus. You know, if we have just enough faith, and I tell a lot of people that if we have enough faith as the size of a mustard seed, we can whip a principality. It's just knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. And so that's what the book Expelled is. It's teaching people to know who they are in Christ Jesus and recognize that those spirits that's operating in the unseen world, that's operating against us.
And see, the thing is that too many people fail to understand and recognize this. Is when you get into the deliverance, when you get into things of that nature, too many people are isolated, and that's part of the reason why they struggle with whatever it is in their life. They're not having what used to be called an accountability partner and getting involved. Other ministries now are talking about people need to get more involved with the local church. Now that we have, you know, out of COVID, we still have a lot of people that are doing the church at home. And if you're not sick and have an incurable disease where you can't get out, there's no reason for you to still be doing that pattern. You need to try and get plugged back into that church or another church. So people are getting more attacked because they're more isolated. They're not having that cohesion, the connectiveness of things. And that's why we're seeing suicide rates going up. That's why the liquor stores are sold out. I don't know if you go to the grocery store in the first, the middle of the month, what's sold out? All the chips are sold out and all the liquor is sold out. You can't find a bag of Lay's on the first of the month, and you can't find Bud Light on the first of the month, because people are into this. Whenever they open a new restaurant, everyone's excited for what? For them to get their liquor license. We're living in a world that is chaotic and discord, because the devil is trying, as I said earlier, throwing these fits of rage. So when we focus in on what God is doing and open these doors and expose the darkness, the deliverance comes. It's not that me or you as a Christian comes out and say, well, I don't have this problem. You know, I'm not going to go through that, or I used to go through that, and it's not a problem anymore. Our flesh is weak. When we realize what we are limited and can do and what God can do, God gets rid of all this junk out of our lives. It's when we try to do all this in our own power our parents and our grandparents would say, well, they're the John Wayne of Christianity. Today, it's you're not the 007. You're not James Bond of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do this on our own. We need to work together with one another. We need to talk about these things that we're struggling with. If it's your tongue, tell somebody, I struggle with what I'm talking about. If it's your mind, I'm struggling with what I'm thinking about. Or if it's your activity or other things that you're going through, you got to speak up. Because if you don't, those things take captive of you. And I really challenge people today to pick up a copy of this. If you already have a Kindle Unlimited account, then go download it today. Expel the guide for delivery. Which leads me to my next to final question. So where do you see God leading your ministry next? What's next for you?
I truly believe that God is leading me. I want to start doing crusades.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to teach the people, first of all, that God is love.
Mm-hmm.
He hates sin, but he loves you. And so now I believe that once we start getting back to crusades, like the old time, like, you know, we had like Oral Roberts and different other people that they came, Billy Graham, and I love Billy Graham. When he taught the people through love. Mm-hmm. He showed them that, you know, we need the Charles Stanleys. You know, we need the Billy Grahams. We need the Catherine Kuhlmans. We need everything that they did it out of love. And they drew millions to Christ because of the love. You know, God loved the person. He hates the sin. And I think we need to have the crusades, start having crusades back, deliverance crusades, you know, the A.A. Allens and the, you know, Amy Simply McPhears and all of those people that demonstrated, the Smith, the Wigglesworth, that demonstrated the love of Christ through words and through actions. And so, and I definitely want to do like more crusades, and because deliverance is not about demons. It's about setting the captives free. And that's what Jesus did.
Amen.
Jesus didn't care, you know, he ain't go all the way through all these, what's your name? He only asked one person, what was their name? One demon, what was their name? He didn't go through everyone that he's seen. Okay, recognize you. You know, no, Jesus seen the need and he handled that demon and mm-hmm. delivered the person. But he did it out of love. And so, and that's what, you know, what we have to get back to. We're going to draw the trans, and we're going to draw the alcoholics and the drug addicted people. It has to come in with the place of love.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a friend and me and a friend was at a laundromat, and this lady of the night came inside of there. And so this lady, the friend of mine, you know, she pulled out her oil and made a big scene basically. And I said, no, 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 no. I said, we don't do that. So I pulled the lady to the side and I told her, I said, you know what? I said, somebody loved you so much that they died on a cross for you. And I said, let me tell you so much how much God loves you. I said, when he made you, he broke the mold because don't nobody else have your DNA. I said, so God loves you. I said, God did not call you to a life like this. Tears started rolling down this lady's eyes. And I said, I said, would you like to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior? And the lady just lift up her hands. So it's a place of love where Amen. We have to. And that's how I look at it.
So when we look at with COVID, with some of the different things that we were involved in, and there were some online conferences and in-person events, we saw the shifting of, and a lot of people were saying somewhere between the 90s, till about 2 years ago, between 40 to 120 million people stopped going to church for different reasons. And then during COVID, you're looking at 20 to 40 million of those were the ones that actually physically stopped going because some of the churches didn't allow it. But at the same point, people were watching online. Social media and technology has advanced where we can have meetings with people all around the world. So what happened, the church shifted. Those that were on the night watch, those that were in the prayer and the fasting, those that were in the worship warfare, They were meeting online in secret. They were meeting on Zoom through VPN connections. They were meeting on Facebook chat, and countries were having Facebook chat set up, and Facebook groups, and Zoom, and WeChat, and China, and High Five, and Friendster, and other places that across the globe, and people were starting praying and fasting, and people were coming together. But the thing was, America was not having a lot of Americans come to these events during this pandemic. Now the pandemic's coming out. And before the Asbury stuff, we're starting to see different states, Louisiana, Texas, California, Washington, Florida, Iowa, all of them having different kinds of revivals, whether it's a small church that has 50 people or it's a larger church that has 500 to 1,000 plus people. And they're having events 10, 20, 3 months down the road, still open every day. People are coming to hear about God, but it's not getting in the media. You'd have to sit here and be involved in these groups to know about it, because the devil's trying to shut us up.
Mm-hmm.
At the same point, like I was talking about a minute ago, about the darkness. When the darkness is so dark, the brightness of God is brighter than the darkness. And there are more people coming to learn about Christ than ever before. What's going to happen, and what starts happening, we look at what happened with Asbury. People are talking about a third great awakening. Now, I was talking about this too, but then on the other point, there's a man that came from Malaysia who got called to go all the way to Kentucky to pray for a revival and get involved with the seminary in like 2016, way before 2016, 2019. God placed this in his heart. He's praying, he's fasting. He goes, he gets involved in that. And then the Asbury event happened. So now him and others are sharing this around the world. And even though they're not going to churches directly connected to that denomination, they're just talking about revival. They're talking about the revival of other revivals. They're talking about Smith. They're talking about Wesley. They're talking about, you know, John G. Lake. They're talking about everyone in between, the Ron Luce stuff that happened at Teen Mania. They're talking about what's happening to C.T. Townsend in North Carolina. You name it, they're finding someone, and they're just sharing the stories. And people are realizing, well, if it happened there, why not here? One person shared in Malaysia and Indonesia, they watched like a 10-second clip of different ministries that were having revivals. And so the missionaries in that country, they all came together. They called everyone in the country, and they said, let's have a conference call and let's just pray and fast for 7 to 10 days for our nation that we're in, that God will make a move. And then God makes the move and more people are getting involved. That's what's happening. Something amazing is happening around the world. And it is time for those deliverance ministries. It's time for those healing ministries, revival ministries, restoration, transformation, for people to be drawn out of these things again. It's not that you need to wait for a 12-step program and put someone in a detox center. No, God is going to detox people out of this. God's going to bring people out of the bondages of homelessness and chaos and discord and so many different things. And God's going to use you and me and other people to keep spreading the message of the gospel like a wildfire. It is time for people to stand up, church. It is time for people to realize and wake up that we need to come together. And to do this, we need to break through these denominational barriers. We need to break through all these different cultural issues and say, this is for the cause of Christ. It's not that you're going to get a special hat or a special t-shirt. It's not you're going to get a special badge or something you can place somewhere else. This is about Jesus Christ, your relationship with Jesus Christ, my relationship with Jesus Christ, and the relationship of Jesus Christ into the lives of those that don't ever know who he is. We're talking about people that need to get saved, people that need to get delivered and set free. It is now time for the church to move forward and to do what God has called us to do.
Right. Amen. Amen. When I seen the Asbury, the revival at Asbury, and I seen them young kids, that moved my spirit. I said, God, I said, look at this. I said, we bash our young kids. I said, but look what is coming forth out of these young kids.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't stop. I'm on. It was like, hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And like I said, a lot of people see an Asbury, but what about the multiple weeks that was happening in Louisiana or what's happening down in Portsmouth, Ohio? There, people are going to church. Some of these churches you can watch online. There is an altar call on a Sunday morning And Lord forbid, I'm going to say the dirty word, a Sunday night and a Wednesday night. Some churches are still working in the evening. That's the other thing that's going to come back when these revivals start opening up this summer. People are going to want to go to church on Sunday night. They're going to want to go on Wednesday. There's another church in Kentucky that's meeting on a Friday from 7 to midnight. So I'm telling you, this is going beyond what we can even imagine. Like I said earlier, I can't keep up with all the different outbursts of revivals and restorations and capabilities and healings and transformations. There's a kid right now up in, I believe it was Minneapolis. He's 7 years old. And he was talking to one of the ministers, and they brought him up forth to speak on the mic. And by the end of this, the seven-year-old's praying over the congregation.
My God.
The children were going back to having faith as a child. Children are going to lead in some of this in ways that we never thought possible. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon these kids. There's other services that I've seen where the Holy Spirit comes upon the kids. And it's not a youth group, a service where all the kids take over. The kid's up there with the adults singing in a quartet, and the kid has a solo. And the kid's 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age. God's going to pour out his spirit amongst everyone, because this is the third great awakening. We are in an amazing opportunity to see what God is doing. I believe God's going to open the doors, because what you're doing, Shanine, you're breaking through the principalities of air. Because Lucifer was the principality, key leader of air for worship. You can imagine, if you've ever seen a band director, Lucifer was the band director. He was leading all the angels, you know.
He was the maestro of it.
On how to sing and how to do everything. So he got a pompous spirit about himself. He thought, well, if I can, you know, get everyone to sing and do all this stuff, I probably could be better than God. That's why when you see some of these deliverances and the experiences that I've been through, he still believes to this day that, oh, I don't believe God's going to do that to me. But when you bring certain people into the room, he trembles in fear. And he's like, I got to go. I can't be around this, because the Spirit of God is there. He's like, I can't deal with this. I got to go. I got to get out. Send me somewhere else.
I done had demons tell a couple of them. Okay, Shanine, one of them said, okay, Shanine, I'm coming out. I said, shut up and come out. Did I tell you to say my name? And one of them, one time we was doing deliverance, and it was this lady, sweet old lady. I know she was a witch, but you know, and so looked inside of her eyes, and I literally seen flames of fire. So I looked at her. I said, you know who I am? And I said, and I ain't talking to the lady. I'm talking to you, nasty, foul, demonic spirit. And that demon said, Shanine, I hate you. And I said, well, you know what? The feeling is mutual. I hate you too. And I said, come on.
Amen.
I have no, you know, I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing on that foundation of Jesus. And so, and I try to tell a lot of people that do ministry, I said, it better not be any sin in your life. I said, because that demon will expose you. So one time we was in, a couple of friends of mine, we were in this deliverance service. And so, you know, God was just moving. And so one demon looked at my friend, her name was Cindy, and turned around and said, Cindy, your gates are open. And so I looked at Cindy. I said, Cindy, some repentance. Cindy left that service. She jetted out of there so fast. But that demon looked at her and said, Cindy, your gates are open. So them demons will expose you. I did I went down to the LA mission with one of my friends. And so I seen this one guy in there. He was just smacking himself. Smack. And all of these preachers was around this guy. And one of the preachers went and grabbed this man by this throat. And said, I'm going to choke that demon out of him. And I just stopped. And I was a visitor. I was coming to support my friend because she was the noon speaker. And I said, stop doing that. I said, can I pray for him? And so it was like 12 of them. So they bagged up. And they said, yeah. And I just walked up. I said, you foul, nasty. And I call it a corroded dog. And I said, you're going to loose your hold on this man. And that demon spoke out. And it was so funny. All of those big time preachers there, they jumped back.
Mm.
And so, and as we were in this service, one of the head bishops that is over the LA mission, he walked in and he literally pushed me to the side. He said, "Move out of the way, I'm here." And as soon as he walked up, that demon spoke out. He cussed at him. He said, "Get away from me, MF. You ain't got no power." And so the man looked at me. He said, "You know about spirits, don't you?" And I said, "Yes." And I'll, "Please, would you get out of my way?" And what ended up happening, the Lord showed me it was molestation that opened up the door from this little boy to become possessed by demons and become a grown man. So I said, "You spirit of molestation, you entered that boy at 8 years old," and that demon said, "You see me?" I said, "You know I see." And I said, "You're going to come out of him right now." And he started purging, just throwing up. And that man, what the Bible says afterwards, he was clothed in his right mind.
Amen.
And so we got to have the love for the people. We don't know what people are going through. We don't know what caused that incident of entryway or access to that person. And we can't throw that person away. We got to love that person, but we got to ask God, like, show me the strong man inside of that. And that's what ended up happening. And I'm just with me. I just said, "Devil, I'm coming after your head." You have destroyed many people through drugs, alcohol, prostitution, homosexuality, abortions. You will not do it in this time. So as you were saying, it's time for us to stand up. It's time for us to be that righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We need to be that righteousness, you know, so our life has to line up with the word of God says. And we just continue to do what God said, what he has promised us and what he has told us to do. So that's like the gist of Shanine Bonner.
So at this point, I'm going to ask you to pray for all those that have listened to this broadcast. They may personally need deliverance. They may need to be saved. Maybe they know someone that needs to be saved. Maybe someone needs deliverance. Maybe someone wants to learn more about who you are and the music that you and your other artists are doing. Can you just pray over everyone as we close this out today?
Yes. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, first of all, Lord, that this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice in it. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for my brother, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, first of all, Lord, we thank you for this interview. Lord, we thank you for his ministry in the name of Jesus. Lord, that it will touch nations in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke any hindrance, any stumbling block in the name of Jesus that would try to come against him in his ministry in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit of your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, Lord, that will come and guide us to all truth in the name of Jesus. We take authority over every spirit that is not like God in the name of Jesus. Devil, you are a liar in the name of Jesus. We command you by the blood of Jesus that you will bow to the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, every listener in the name of Jesus, Lord, ask this interview will go forth and that will be broadcast to the airway. Lord, bring deliverance in the name of Jesus. Lord, let them run to you and say, "What must I do to be saved?" And Lord, and for those that's struggling in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are our advocate and you said that we can cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. And Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we give you all the glory. And Lord, we cover this interview by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that no demon will be able to cross the blood in the name of Jesus, because it's life and the blood. And Lord, we praise you. And Lord, we give you all the glory. Lord, we give you all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Brother Jeremy, the Lord showed me. He said, you have a cat. He He's calling you to be a revivalist as well. That's
Amen.
Why he has placed that so strong inside of you. He has given you a John Wesley mantle.
Amen. I receive.
So
Amen.
To do what God has called for you to do. And I speak the revival in you, the revivalist, in the name of Jesus, that you will touch nations with
Amen.
this interview, with your podcast, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes,
we Lord.
We declare it right now in the name of Jesus.
We declare the nations to you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Open doors for him right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, you said, behold, in Revelation 3, behold, I set before you an open door. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the door that you have opened for my brother right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you would take this ministry
Amen.
Nationwide in the name of Jesus. And we declare it right now in
thank
Jesus'
you, Lord.
Mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so very much, Janine. It's been an honor and privilege spending this time with you today. If our listeners want to contact you, how can they contact you today?
They can contact me from Janine. My email is, I can't say my name now. Janine at Janine C. Bonner Ministries. Or www.JanineCBonner.com. For the website. And if they want to just go and look at Decree, www.decreerecords.com.
Again, this has been a great honor and a privilege spending this time with you today. Again, check out Decree Records, check out Janine Bonner. And again, if you're interested in contacting her, you can go to JanineCBonner.com. You can find her on Facebook. You can find her anywhere else. And again, that book, her recent book, is Expelled, The Guide to Deliverance. The Kindle edition is available. Thank you so much for this opportunity to spend time with you.
And paperback is available.
Oh, there's a paperback too. Oh, that's wonderful. So Expelled, The Guide to Deliverance, is Kindle and paperback editions are available, both on Amazon today.
Both on Amazon. And my book, Bleeding Within. If you're dealing with healing that needs to, some inner stuff that needs to be taken care of, check out Bleeding Within.
Oh, yes. Both on paperback and Amazon today.
Yes.
Thank you so very much, Janine. This has been a great interview. I hope many people are blessed by this message that you've shared. Again, check out Decree Records. Check out Janine the Honor. Pick up one of her books. Pick up one of her albums. We'll see you soon. God bless.
Thank you.
You're welcome.